Hey guys, welcome to the Raw Barbell Club Coach's Corner or Nerd Talk. On today's episode, we're going to talk about volume. If you guys are not sure what this is, it's basically a short 15-minute podcast episode where two coaches, all three, if Steve's here.
He needs another bike.
We do need another bike.
Avanti, get onto us, get us another bike as soon as you can.
Where we talk about a topic regarding training. So lead us off. So you messaged me the other day, what was it about?
Yeah, just talking about volume and how it's like it is extremely important, and I think it's everyone takes it into consideration when writing a program. But I think it might be the main differentiating factor for individualization and between programs.
Explain.
Okay. When you we sort of know what ranges to work out in for most purposes. Strength, hypertrophy, we sort of know the rep range, we know the intensity, just weight on the bar,
For a beginner, we know the staples. We know 3 sets of 10, we know 5 sets of 5, we know 5 sets of 3, 3 sets of 6.
But even to that point, we know that 1 to 3, if we're doing max strength peak to a comp with a low sets, 3 to 1 reps at a higher weight, 85%+.
Which we would say is power.
That's power, and peaking, if we're doing powerlifting, you would reserve that for a peaking block.
Yeah.
Or the end of the strength.
2 to 3 weeks prior to a competition.
Exactly. And then we know hypertrophy. 65, they say 35% to 85%, 5 to 30 reps. With us, it's more we try and avoid the 30% and stuff because it's not that fun. But 6 to 15 reps is usually what we stick in, which would be 40% to 85% for hypertrophy.
Yeah.
We know basic strength, 65% to 85%, 6 to 10 reps for these sort of things, but we don't know how many sets to do. We make assumptions. 3 sets of 10, 5 sets of 5. How many times do you do 5 sets of 5 a week?
Yeah.
How many times do you do 3 sets of 10 a week? Does that change from block to block? Does it change from person to person? That's why when I was thinking about it a bit too much, when we have camps, I'm going to talk about powerlifting because that's what I know more about. Even weightlifting, you have low volume camps, high volume camps, 5x5, 5x3x1, Smoloff, Bulgarian method, these are all camps that people find mixed success with. People try different options and they have success, and then they determine this is the best program and they tout it's because it's doing 3s, it's because it's doing 5s, it's because you work from 75 to 85 then you do a deload. I don't think they're that relevant because most of them have very similar intensity ranges and rep ranges, 5s, 10s. The exact thing we know that works. What differentiates between them a lot of the time is sets throughout the week.
And the drugs.
Always the drugs. But mostly it's sets throughout the week, differentiation between sets in a day, progressing through a mesocycle, what you do afterwards. That's one of the things that I see change the most, and that's what people get an individual response from.
Yeah. So what you're saying is weekly tonnage actually matters.
It's weird that the amount of work you do, it's not just the medicine you take, it's the dosage. Who knew that when it comes to ingesting something, it's not just you can drown yourself with water.
Yes.
It's a certain amount is needed, not just what it is.
And then so the key question becomes then, what is the minimum amount of medication I need to take to get better?
Yep.
What is the maximum amount of medication I take
before you die?
Before I die. And then, or in terms of this, is in terms of training, it's not before I die, but before I can't physically recover from it.
Until you can't come to a point where you can train again to that intensity.
Yeah.
Because then that's not overload. We all know training needs to present an overload, which is just hard training needs to get harder over time. Progressive overload.
Yeah. So, it's simple to ask, but it's probably important to specify how you actually get better from a scientific protocol.
Yeah.
So it is you train to the point where your body cannot longer tolerate the training load, then the body does something called
adaptation.
Adaptation, and it super compensates for the training load, and then magically on the other side of that timeline, you are better than you were before.
Yeah. Simple way to go. Stimulus. That's the overloading of a. You're at homeostasis, which is normal. It presents a stimulus. You recover, and you adapt from that stimulus to be better for next time.
And there's some sort of curve. I don't know what it's called.
Is it?
No, it's so we know. And then that stimulus, because we've adapted to it, needs to get harder for the next time.
Yeah.
That's why it's progressive overload, not just overload. We need to get progressively harder over time. That's done by a lot of different ways. Most of the time, weightlifting and powerlifting, it's either more reps, tonnage, or just intensity, like harder.
Yeah. So like
there's also density, etc.
But that's the cool thing about tonnage is the tonnage takes into account sets times reps times weights.
Yes.
So if your tonnage is going up, that over time, slowly, progressively, then we can extrapolate that you are
doing more work.
And the person that is the strongest is the person that does the most work.
Yes. And also, on top of that, you've got to take into account relative intensity. As in, how close you are within those percentages we were saying before, because you can just, like, walking, your tonnage is actually unreal. But that's not presenting enough stimulus for an overload.
Yeah, I mean, what is this?
I don't know if we're overloading, but I feel like we might if we do a few more of these.
Yeah, because like, I walked off this before last episode, and my legs were sore.
Yeah. I think it might be just where I am like stuck in this movement. It's just the actual posture of it that's hurting me.
I feel like I'm getting smarter though, because I'm using my brain while I'm battling.
Or get the Nobel Prize. I've solved it.
Yeah. Who needs standing desks when you have cycling desks?
Do we get like call Avanti, see if they can get us one of these but with a desk? Like the bedside tables? That's what I want. Back to minimum effective dose.
Yeah.
So when we're doing our programs now, we go back to it. We don't know how much we need to train. It's different for everyone. Everyone's got a different response, and that actually changes over time as well. So when you first started, your minimum effective dose was like walking into the gym and like just looking at weights. Like you just got better. Like you've never seen a weight before. You pick one up and now you've like presented enough stimulus to be better than that for next time.
And a great example of that is your first time bench pressing and you're like this.
Everything
on
shaking.
An empty bar,
yeah.
And then next session you come in and bench press, and you're like 20, 25 kilos,
yeah,
20 kilos, 30 kilos.
Like. Exactly, and you can present a better, then next time it's probably 30 kilos.
Yeah.
That's beginner gains, because that stimulus needed is so small. But then on the other hand, you get to an intermediate, and you can really easily, like, you're doing 30 sets of chest in one day. You can't recover from that appropriately within 3 days or a week. Like, we don't know how much you're able to recover from. So what we do, we get an estimate of where you're going to be by taking a bunch of different measurements. Not measurements, but like, we know that if you're really big, really strong, you can present a bigger stimulus.
And there is research into this, and that's where we're drawing this.
Yes.
This data from, right?
Yeah, and it's also
it's just that it's guesstimates, not exact science.
Exactly, but all this is always going to be a guesstimate, but what you don't just throw it out because of that's the case. You can also just, like, if you take notes, you can get closer over time to the truth. This is just a scientific method of finding your volume that you should be training at per, like, hypertrophy strength peak.
Yeah. So, the important thing is to... So there's two ways of going about it. One way is smarter than the other.
Yes.
The way that a lot of people do is you work as much as you can until you find that maximal recoverable volume, break, or figure out that you're overtraining or whatever, and then have to work down from there.
Yeah. Most of the time that's overshot anyway.
Yes. And then... The better way to do it is to actually start at the lowest end,
gradually.
Notice that you're slowly increasing, figure out where that sweet spot is.
Yeah, so the main way it's thought about it is like the minimum effective volume, then you have your adaptive volume, and then you have your maximum recoverable volume. This is like RP strength. That's what they're sort of known for, Mike Isertel. You start at a certain point, you get those easy gains, you gradually increase over time, meanwhile you're recovering week to week, and then when you get to a point, you won't be able to recover from the stimulus you're giving. So the next week, you're doing 100 kilos for 10, the next week, 100 kilos for 6. Okay, we definitely didn't recover.
Yeah.
So, time for a deload. Like, take a light week, come back, you've been recovered, and now you know that, okay, when I did the 100 for 10 for bench, I was doing 14 sets throughout the week. I now know that maybe, I don't know if it's fully, it might have been some other contributing factors, would be 14 sets. I can go back and okay, let's start at 10 sets of bench and we'll increase, maybe auto-regulate, and maybe it's going to be one extra set a week while I'm increasing the weight as well. Okay, do another block, it's 4 weeks, you get to it again, 14 sets, cool, you did 110 for 10 this time, next time 110 for 4, you're like, okay, 14 sets is about what I can recover from. Now you know where the point in which you stop recovering from is, and you know what you need to do to present a stimulus to get better, and you just chill on those ranges. That will change a bit over time, just keep from taking notes, but now you know how much training you should do within the rep ranges that we're saying before, the 3s, the 5s, the 10s. That also changes between strength and hypertrophy, so you could take note on that. But again, like, once you have these ranges, you can just train smarter now. You yep. don't have to guess and be, oh, I'll do 5-3-1.
So I think the key takeaways then for you guys at home, whether you're an athlete or coach, is collect data.
Collect data, like anecdotal stuff. Like, the difference between science and just mucking around is that you write it down.
Yes. Yeah, that's 100%. And that's been the biggest change. So for you guys at home, or the guys that train with us either online or in the gym, that's the biggest change that we've taken on at Raw Barbell, is that one, everyone's volume now is 100% accounted for when they record it. when they do it. And at the end of a block, we now have validation or things to change.
Yeah, like we can
because
see
we have the data.
100%. Like, and this is always going to be different per person. And it's not that, oh, chest and legs are going to be 10 and 10 sets is perfect. You might be able to recover from 20 sets of chest and 5 sets of leg. I don't know.
Yeah, like, we, I recover from like 20 sets of rows. But
like, we haven't reached the upper limit of Andy's ability to recover from row chest. Like, the main, it's not a factor of recovery, it's a factor of time now. Like, where can I fit these additional rows in? Like, do I have to wake up in the middle of the night with a barbell next to the bed and get some bent over rows in? Like, is that what's necessary? Perhaps. Like, when you get to 1,000 sets a week, where are you going to fit them in?
And that's my MEV.
That's a minimum effective. He actually hasn't made any gains yet from rows. He's only reaching up to minimum effective volume.
And sorry, there's one quick thing before we leave today for this one, is remembering that your MEV, MRV for a certain body part or exercise can change from one exercise to another.
Yes.
You can very much be able to tolerate a high amount of volume on squats and a low amount of volume on bench press or deadlifts. Vice versa,
you don't
or
know.
Snatches, clean and jerks, or whatever crazy things that you kids are doing these days.
You don't know. So write it down.
Yeah, that's all we're telling you to do, write down. But if you guys are interested in a smarter way of programming and you do want to get better, check us out.
Ask us,
yeah. And if you have questions, if you have thoughts, if you want to talk to us about this stuff, just comment below, because we're an open book. And if you disagree with us too,
yell at us, please.
Yeah. We're just two coaches sitting on a bike.